You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus and Bears Wire, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. I am back once again to bring you another heaping helping of Chicago Bears talk. Hope you're ready for this one. We're going to do our best Queen impression today. Talk about some Bears players that are under pressure in 2018. You know, I think across the roster, every NFL player faces a lot of different pressures of, you know, doing this for a living on the highest stage. So it's not to overlook the day-to-day pressure that NFL players go to. But I think there are four Bears in particular that entering 2018 especially have just another level of pressure on them for a lot of different reasons. You know, we've seen this Bears team undergo some changes on one side of the ball and few changes on the other side of the ball, which really creates some different dynamics. And I feel like it's putting players on each side of the ball in some particular situations to, you know, step up and fit in or adjust to things that are changing. And so I want to focus on this handful of guys today that I just feel like are on a little bit more pressure than everybody else for specific reasons, specific to their position and their status on the team and just in the NFL in general. Let's start on the defensive line with a player who's had some pressure, I think, the last few years of his career here, Jonathan Bullard. Stepping into now year three, I really feel like the pressure is just turned up that next notch because Mitch Unrein, he walked in free agency this year. I feel like we talked all last season on the podcast about how well Unrein had played, kind of flying under the radar and continuing to be a top-notch run defender on this defensive line. And, you know, it's not as though Unrein played 900 snaps last year. I mean, there was a rotation with Bullard and with Roy Robertson-Harris, and to some extent, that rotation's going to continue. But Bullard is set to be the guy, the main guy. I mean, you're still going to get other guys involved there, but Bullard kind of gets that starter next to his name, at least on paper here, and he certainly has to continue to earn it and hold it. But I think the pressure especially sits on him because he was a third-round pick. You know, Roy Robertson-Harris, a former undrafted free agent, converted outside linebacker, you know, put on a bunch of weight to play the position. It's something he's been still learning. He doesn't have these sort of expectations of production, but Bullard, now 3 years removed from a career at the University of Florida, still hasn't produced like that top 100 pick. You know, two sacks over the last 2 years. You look back at his senior year at Florida, 6.5 sacks, 18 tackles for a loss. And, you know, I know there's a lot more to defensive line play and measuring that than just sacks, especially kind of in this position in the Bears defense. But Bullard is a guy who over the last 2 years has been on the field for more passing plays than running plays because Unrein is more the run guy. So Bullard needed to be more of the pass rusher type to be able to get in there on passing downs, and he just wasn't getting after the quarterback. And it goes beyond sacks in the pass rushing too. I mean, at Pro Football Focus, we record pressures with, you know, hits and hurries and sacks. Last year, Bullard had 12 pressures on a little over 200 pass rushes. Put him about 5.5% of his rushes are generating pressure. That's in the bottom third of all defensive linemen in the NFL. You know, Bullard sits there like 5.5%. For comparison, Akeem Hicks was about 9.5%. So Akeem Hicks is pressuring the quarterback almost twice as often last year as Jonathan Bullard, which might be expected in some extent, but you need better from your third-round pick. You know, he's playing up at about 290, 295-pound type range, and that's sort of some of the reason why people have speculated that he hasn't had as much success because he had to put on weight to play this kind of role. I think in college he was listed down more in the 280, 285 type range, and it is different to some extent. And he is in base packages, he's lining up wider, he has put on weight, he doesn't have as much speed off the snap. But when the Bears do move into their nickel package, he does end up playing the 4-3 defensive tackle, the 3 technique spot that he played at Florida when he generated all of those sacks and tackles for a loss. And we still haven't seen him live up to some of the production he had at Florida because a lot of that came from his quickness off the snap. And now, over the last couple of years, he's had to more refine his hands and his feet and his technique to be able to win with more than just athletic ability. And I think last year we saw some of that improvement, particularly in the running game. I thought he played better there last year than he had as a rookie. And I remember Vic Fangio saying something about how, you know, Bullard was kind of lost in year one and struggled to kind of keep up with adjusting to the NFL. And particularly on the defensive line, that can be a difficult adjustment. But, you know, last year was year two. He did seem more consistent in run defense, a little bit more comfortable generally in the defense. And now you enter year three in 2018, and it's just Roy Robertson-Harris and the rookie Bilal Nichols behind him competing for that playing time. And those are two younger guys, barely, for Roy Robertson-Harris, but two younger, certainly less experienced guys on the defensive line that have some potential and have some upside there. And Bullard, if he wants to, you know, not only live up to his third round pick status, but also just keep the quote unquote starting job and really cement himself as a key piece to this defensive line, he needs to step up. He needs to take that next step now in year three, third year in the same system, third year kind of at the same weight and really refining his technique. Jonathan Bullard needs to step it up in 2018. Now, if you need to step it up in 2018, you might want to check out our friends at BlueChew.com. BlueChew can give you that extra confidence and really increase your performance when it comes to the intimate times with your special someone. BlueChew brings you the first chewable blue pill with the same FDA-approved ingredients that you can find in Viagra and Cialis, so you know it's got the stuff inside that's going to work. But the nice thing about the chewable form is it gets into your system faster, so you can take it whenever you need to. It's up to twice as fast as swallowing the actual pill, and you can take it pretty much any time of day, full stomach, empty stomach, you name it, and it gets into your system, and you're ready to go. The best part about doing BlueChew.com is you prescribe it online and it's shipped straight to your door, discreet package. There's none of those weird doctor visits. There's no awkwardness. You don't have to go to a pharmacy for it. It's made in the USA and it ships directly to you. Cheaper, faster, more convenient. So right now on Locked On Bears, we have a special deal for the listeners of our podcast. If you visit BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment free. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, all you have to do is pay, I think, like $5 shipping-ish at BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON, it's LOCKEDON, gives you your free trial of BlueChew. It is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And again, we thank our friends at BlueChew for sponsoring the podcast. Today we're talking about Chicago Bears under the most pressure in 2018, and we started with Jonathan Bullard on the defensive line. Now I want to flip to the offensive line and kind of come back to the weak link. I mean, when this Bears offensive line is fully healthy, full strength, all that good stuff, Bobby Massey kind of remains that blemish, the sore spot on the right side, and he's entering a pretty critical year for him. I mean, his contract expires at the end of this season, and that's one of those moves that I think is kind of flying under the radar here, because, you know, I think we've heard this offseason about Adrian Amos potentially looking at a contract extension, Eddie Goldman as well, expected to get some kind of deal done. Seems like Ryan Pace kind of gets those in the preseason and training camp that time of year, but Bobby Massey has to earn it, especially with the level of play he's had over the last couple of years. You know, he makes $6 million a year. I think it was a three-year, $18 million deal. And according to the people over at SpotTrack that track all the contract stuff, I think that makes him the 14th highest paid right tackle in terms of average salary. And over the last 2 years, he has not played like the 14th best right tackle. For me, he's definitely much closer to the bottom of the league. In terms of PFF numbers, he's in the bottom 10 of all right tackles, and I think bottom 15 of all offensive tackles in general in pass blocking, and particularly in the amount of pressures he allows on a per snap basis. And, you know, he's kind of been known more as the run blocking guy, but I haven't felt like he's been consistent enough in there, particularly not enough to make for the deficiencies in the passing game. I mean, he's never been a good pass blocker in his career. And in Chicago, the run blocking has just been kind of up and down. It's, you know, some games so he'll go up against maybe a weaker outside linebacker or more of a finesse guy that can't, you know, physically quite match up with Massey, and he can get some movement there. And sometimes he can just kind of find a little bit of a groove and some consistency in his technique. But maybe as the season goes on and he gets tired or banged up and dealing with minor nagging injuries, you just don't see that consistent enough, you know, road grading power right tackle to justify this type of a salary. You know, I really don't feel like what we've seen over the last two seasons puts him in position to get a starting level contract when he becomes a free agent this offseason, unless he can really take that next step. The problem is the NFL has this nasty habit of consistently paying and playing bad offensive linemen, especially at the offensive tackle position, where just across the league, there aren't enough talented starting quality offensive tackles to really give every team two of them that you can rely on from week to week. So, you know, I would expect, even if Bobby Massey plays this season at about the same level that he has in years past, he'll probably get a decent contract. You know, certainly not going to be paid like a top right tackle, because, I mean, he's not horrible, but I wouldn't call Bobby Massey a good right tackle. And if I'm building the Chicago Bears and I want Mitchell Trubisky to have, and Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen to have the best possible offensive line, I want a better right tackle than Bobby Massey, unless he steps up in 2018 with a career best year, really. I want a better right tackle. I would like him to either step up or get replaced on this offensive line. All of these Chicago Bears under pressure really do need to step up and have those big years in 2018. But I think right up there near the top of anybody on the roster is Leonard Floyd at outside linebacker. Just a guy that, you know, like Jonathan Bullard, same draft class, 2018, year three, needs to be the year where he steps up and lives up to the expectations of his draft pick. You know, his rookie year, 2016, he played 12 games and got 7 sacks out of those 12 games. And it was a nice, like, first year, you know, nothing too crazy, not expecting the world from him, working in a rotation there and made some plays as a rotational, situational pass rusher. Comes back last year, only plays 10 games, only gets 4.5 sacks out of those 10 games, and it has to be a disappointment in that sense. We've talked a little bit about Floyd and the pass rushers on previous podcasts, but now we're in 2018, and there's no more Pernell McPhee, no more Willie Young, no more Lamar Houston, and all this attention now is going to go from the offense onto the Bears' number one pass rusher, and I specifically specify pass rusher for this expectations for Leonard Floyd. Run defense, it's important, and it's good that he's showing some improvement in that area, and anything he can do in coverage is a nice little bonus. But when it comes to the outside linebacker position on the Chicago Bears team right now, they need Leonard Floyd to step up as that top edge-rushing, pass-rushing threat. Because I feel like right now, Akeem Hicks is actually kind of the team's quote-unquote number one pass rusher. But in Vic Fangio's defense, you need your outside linebackers to really step up and make a play. And you need that edge presence, and you need your 9th overall pick to pan out like a top 10 pick in the NFL. You know, the pressure from the interior in Hicks is important, and that's the trend that the NFL is going in right now. But interior pressure comes when the guys on the outside can do their jobs, and at least occupy the tackles and maybe take some attention from tight ends to give the interior guys better pass rushing matchups and situations. So if Leonard Floyd can play 16 games, that would be a huge start, a big step forward, something he hasn't done yet in his NFL career. But if he plays 16 games, I want 10 sacks out of my ninth overall pick, outside linebacker, bookend pass rusher. That should be the expectation for Leonard Floyd. And we went even more in depth on expectations for Floyd and a number of other players, including our final Bear under pressure for this episode, on last week's episode of your favorite Chicago Bears podcast, Locked On Bears. If I asked you which Chicago Bears player is under the most pressure in 2018, maybe you might first immediately think Kevin White, just because Kevin White's always under pressure every year. And I think he does have a distinctly new pressure this year, just with his contract running up at the end of the year. And he's a player I would call a notable omission from this podcast. But I think, for me, the Chicago Bear with the most on his shoulders for 2018 has to be Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, this is the offseason of Mitchell Trubisky. Just think about everything we've heard about this Bears offense so far this offseason. You know, the hype, the excitement. Tariq Cohen, he's going to play all over. Taylor Gabriel adds some speed with him and can work vertically underneath. The Bears are going to be mixing in these run-pass options. Trey Burton called them, you know, unguardable type plays. And Burton himself is going to be flexing out wide and moving around. And all these new pieces, this new coach, this new staff, this new offense, it's all for Mitchell Trubisky, and none of those innovations fall into place without number 10 under center making the plays. And I think expectations for him are really going to be sky high, because there's not really a lot of, I don't want to say excuses left, but now all the pieces are in place for him to have that success. And, you know, I hesitate because we forget that he is a 23-year-old kid. I think he turns 24 before the season starts, but, you know, he didn't work with the starters last year at all in training camp, or at least very limited as the preseason went along, and didn't really get to practice with them much until he actually took over as the starter in week 5. And now he's still just going through what's really his first full offseason with the team, certainly his first offseason with the coaching staff, but first year being able to work out all offseason in their facilities and really be that NFL starting quarterback, that leader for the football team. And so I think when you have a young player who's still learning the NFL, there's going to be growing pains this year. You know, we saw the fourth quarter interceptions last year. I think we might see more of those. We're going to see more situations like that where you're reminded that this is a second-year quarterback, an inexperienced quarterback in college. That was the big knock on him, remember? And now he's still an inexperienced quarterback in the NFL. Like, I think back to last year, and, you know, everything was blame the wide receivers, blame John Fox, blame Dowell Loggins and the coaching staff and the scheme of the offense. And I think all of those things are fair blame. I think those were all very legitimate explanations for Mitchell Trubisky's performances, both, you know, the ups and the downs and sort of what we saw and what we weren't able to see from him. But all of those things are gone this year. You know, there's no the receiver excuse. We're going to put excuse in, you know, quotation marks here, air quotes. You can't see them, but I'm making air quotes. The excuses of bad wide receivers, bad offensive scheme, bad coaching staff, those are all out the window. And that solely puts the expectations on the shoulder of Ryan Pace's young quarterback. And, you know, I personally feel like it's not necessarily fair to expect Mitchell Trubisky to be Carson Wentz or Jared Goff just yet in year 2, just because those guys were such anomalies statistically. You know, I think it's something to hope for and something to shoot for, but like we talked about last week, maybe he can just be more like an Alex Smith level of production in 2018, and he can take that next step, you know, 2019, when it's more reasonable to have been a full year with these receivers, a full year in this offense. A couple years now in the league, he's seen everything that teams are going to throw at him, and he can kind of really get through that sophomore slump and take on the NFL by storm with a little bit more experience to his back. You know, I think an Alex Smith type year of, you know, 3,500 yards and, you know, 22 touchdowns and a handful of interceptions, that's great growth from last year. I mean, that's taking the positive steps forward. But I feel like with everything we hear coming out of minicamp and OTAs, and it's going to amp up in training camp in a month or two here, the expectation continues to rise, and so does the pressure. The pressure is always going to be on us here at Locked On Bears to bring you entertaining and informative Chicago Bears talk on whatever podcast listening app you choose to use. Don't forget, Locked On Bears is on there. There's always a way to subscribe, leave a review, all that good stuff really helps us out. You know, as we move forward here through these light months of June and July, we're going to start taking a little look ahead at some of the Bears' 2018 opponents and maybe take you around the NFL a little bit more and try and see where the Bears kind of stand in this time of year when every team feels like the Super Bowl is within reach and every team wants to make the playoffs and everybody's feeling positive. Let's see how the Bears' opponents this year in particular are sitting as they get ready for training camp too. Also going to try and pull some potential big name guests here that may or may not have worn the blue and orange before. Those are always a little bit of a hard get, but have a couple names in mind that I think would be interesting to kind of get onto. Maybe a little bit of a where are they now type thing. Not going to make any promises because there's agents and there's publicists and they're all busy doing things, but have a couple guys that I think would be curious to kind of just say, okay, well, that guy hasn't played on the Bears in a number of years and hasn't been in the NFL. What is he doing now, and what was it like when he was on the Chicago Bears? Again, no promises on that front, but the only promise I can make to you is that we're going to keep up the Bears talk, and we're going to bear down.